Hello and welcome to the International Coaching Federation Germany's podcast. My name is Anne Schweppenhäuser. Today I'm talking to Katarzyna Schubert-Panika and I'm talking with Katarzyna for the second time in our podcast. Welcome, Katarzyna.
Good morning, Anne. Happy to be here again.
Thank you so much. And probably people don't know Katarzyna. Last time we spoke about the connection between coaching and mediation, and in the meanwhile, you have become a PCC, ICF PCC coach in business coaching, and you have a very new angle around climate coaching, and climate coaching might be our topic for today. Mm-hmm. So how come that you are dealing with climate and in coaching now? What happened?
Yes, a good question. And I think so many things happened and so many changes. So as we met last time, I remember I was already working with the ecology of human being and business, right? So, years ago, I started to take a look in the business at first, in the mediation and organization, and observe that the way how we are dealing with ourselves and with each other, also from a mediation perspective, wasn't the best one. So I made a bit of research on that and a little bit self-study. I published something, went for many open spaces and bar camps with this topic. And I was already an environmental mediator. And then I realized that when it comes to coaching, I hold back so much, or I don't allow myself to bring anything from this bigger picture, which is there from our nature, from the planet, into the coaching space. So I was like, in my private life and as a mediator, aware about the changes we observe for decades now. And I'm a radical climate activist, I need to say it. I am a minimalist on a personal level. And then I was somehow different in the coaching space. And I was looking for ways how to deal with this discrepancy. Mm-hmm. And I knew as a coach, I'm not allowed to bring anything from my perspective, or at least it has been the illusion. Mm-hmm. And then I was asking questions. And I think Kirsten Dierolf was the one who recommended the Climate Coaching Alliance to me. And 2 years ago, the journey, or three already, the journey with them started, right? So I found a way to disattach myself somehow, to realize how can I open a space for clients without pushing or pulling them anywhere, without bringing my agenda, and at the same time being aware about what's going on, about the bigger picture.
And probably this might be the ICF Code of Ethics last aspect. I think it's in section society. It's about doing good and avoiding the bad, and that we have a responsibility towards society as well, and as well for the planet. And this is, I think, perfectly aligned with the 17 sustainability goals as well.
Yes.
So we are dealing with companies, with people in companies, around these aspects as well, and they are, I'm not sure to say if whether they are more popular or if sustainability is more visible right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so. This is the 28th standard of ethics, mm-hmm. which you mentioned, and when we take a look to ICF, to EMPT, and many global bodies of coaching, there are the standard, ethical standard, and there is the global statement of how we deal with climate, planetary crisis. And this is, I think, for us as coaches and for our listener, a good starting point to realize we are allowed, if not obliged, to think in a bigger frame. Right? So it was also very helpful to realize, what am I allowed by the body to do and not to do while I am coaching others? And this is maybe a good point, Anna, to explain what do we understand by climate coaching. Is it a good place for that? Good.
So
So
is already a definition, is there?
we have a couple of ideas. There are two beautiful books which I can recommend to everybody about climate coaching. And I will give you a list maybe after we spoke. And I have an idea. So talking or representing myself, I would say this is like another partnership, or partnership-based assistant for everyone who is interested to explore about the interaction and the relationship with the planet which we are part of. And for me myself, it's especially focused on executive boards and companies and organizations and politicians who would like to really be a part of the solution, to really not just follow the legal requirements we have, and which very much empathize the present you mentioned about sustainability. Because at least in Europe, we have so many legal requirements, they have no other choice. They need to handle with this topic. But then climate coaching means if we take us, someone who supports the critical thinking, the thinking environment, and we dig into what could it be that we become truly not only sustainable, because I'm afraid it's not enough, but we need to rethink, to readjust what we are doing. This place is very enriching. This is what I observe, so having this space. So, but beyond maybe the organizational level, I think climate coaching is for everybody as an individual who a lot of us suffer about the topics, teams who would like to be more planet oriented, but the bigger frame doesn't allow them for how they build the structure, or who I often coach are sustainability departments who really have, we have mentioned diversity management in our previous conversation, and the sustainability management department are a kind of added value today, and they are not seen as very important yet. So those are also interesting that clients to be enabled to position themselves within a company in a better way. And of course, last but not least, the politicians, because by the end of the day, they are the one who can implement our decisions or the decisions the legacy is making in a better way.
So what you're talking are the different layers and different levels of involvement.
Yes.
Or in other words, I suppose we are all kind of stakeholders because we are consuming climate or we are using climate and we're using nature. And therefore, why is it so important to offer such topic in coaching? And for whom?
Yes, I think why you asked me at the beginning, why did I go this direction? And I would like to use the German word and then go back to English. And which was the Leidenschaft, a kind of compassion, which has a double meaning for me in German, because it's suffering, but in a positive way, which becomes a compassion. So I observe that people suffer and don't have the space to think about that, to feel themselves in a deeper way. So as the poly crisis is there, we have the possibility to look away or to be prepared for our clients and to recognize, and this is what I wrote about in the landscape of influences. What factors do we have in our lives in the 2021? This is still the 21st century, right? And how we can recognize them in our life, in our decision-making processes, and where do we have control and where we don't. So this is maybe the why and for whom, is because it's there, the crises are there. So it's only the only one way to cope with that is to become it, to make it more a topic to support the awareness and the consciousness about what's going on. and not to judge about this. So this is for whom. It's very important to me to underline that it's not about judging or blaming anyone. And if you say we are the stakeholders, I would like to invite us to a picture where we are the nature, we are the planet. And the division, the separation in our mind, in our head, it's a little bit artificial. So, you know, I'm Polish, so I grew up in another circumstance. It's like, you're just a part of that. So instead of destroying our own homes, it's the idea of how we can create a space and provide a safe space where people can think about that, can express their pain. And it's enough just to take a look at the correlation between mental health and climate change. It's, you know, we could take many topics and have the evidence for how the situation in this time has an impact on us. And then whom, going to this question, is to everybody who's interested, as always, who's open to take a look. And then to the individuals, to the team, to the society as such, right? To the politicians, yes, to decision maker. And maybe one last sentence here, why I focus on businesses is because I love to be efficient, and they are mostly successful and flexible in a pace which we don't have yet in big states like Germany, for example, or Poland. We are much slower there because we need to recognize so many structural and bureaucratic stuff. And companies, they are able to disrupt themselves and to move forward, right?
Yes, it sounds as if there are different, probably grassroots initiatives, and some initiatives on a larger scale, and some small incident today morning. That while there were the news on the radio, they said, okay, please be aware that in the afternoon, if you are outside, sun is already very high and the UV are already there. So please cover your arms with something to protect yourself. And this is something that I realized that has happened long time ago and in Australia and not Germany. So we are now in the situation in which broadcast companies show us, okay, please be aware of there is sun outside. And it's probably dangerous. Wow. So parts of our nature.
And what I hear in this kind of statement, or, you know, it's again a kind of, you know, behave, right? Yes. It's the one. And the other one is a kind of distinction, the nature and you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how, you know, it's what I observe, what I love about coaching. And maybe I give you one example, what I observe, why coaching in climate has such a potential. Because we have eye level. We don't teach, we don't train people. And I don't know the answer. I only know where it's a kind of risk if we go this direction. Mm-hmm. And maybe as coaches, we can observe contradictions in client thinking or acting, which we can kindly, you know, mirror to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the example which gave me so much power and trust in this really sometimes very painful and depressing situation. So to be honest, it's not just pink in this, to be in this place today. I offered climate communication workshop for different clients from a business context. And there were representatives of business, but also from academia. And I used a kind of, you know, models for knowledge, but then coaching aspect and peer coaching. So I send them to peer coaching. And it's more than a year ago. And they are still so happy. And I realized the insight they had through this combination of different, you know, elements was so beautiful that they became enabled to be even more proactive, pro-planet in their action, in their own pace, in their own value system, in their own environments. So instead of, you know, take a good care, you and them, and bad and good, I really would like to empathize on, and this is the 28th standard. The trust and the belief we are collaborative beings. We are able to do good. When we follow Levina, we are able to take care for each other. We feel this responsibility. And what I observe is a kind of artificial devastation of this human attitude through decades, not new one. And maybe, but it's not a mission or idea, just coaching could do so. I'm very humble here, but an idea that we could be a part of this movement to at least keep a quality of life and conversation instead of having more and more conflicts, which we will have. You have mentioned my mediation work, and I do a lot there, and we will have so many conflicts around climate and resources.
Yes.
So this is this Leidenschaft, compassion about how can I be a part of something what's good, and how can I support clients in realizing that maybe they do something good, but the jungle or the field of action they are in will be a critical one. And this is also a painful place. Right?
And sometimes perhaps you have listened to that as well. I'm just one person. So
okay.
What kind of impact could I create?
Okay. Ever,
according to the huge questions that are in this space around. So what do you recommend?
Yes.
A client or a coach who has this not attitude, this idea about the own impact.
I will use a metaphor, you know, and our listeners know narrative coaching is important to you too. So there is a small story, and I hope I can tell it in a good way. So there is a young boy on a beach, and he's collecting starfish and putting them back to the water. And an older man is going, passing him and saying, "What are you doing? Take a look. There are like thousands and thousands of these fishes here. You will not be able to do any kind of or support any kind of change." And this boy answers, "But for this fish, I make a change, make a difference."
Yeah.
Right? And this is what I observed. But this is also something, Anna, I needed to be reminded by my trainer from the Climate Coaching Alliance. From we have beautiful communities in the global coaching place, that I can make a difference. Because as you say, when we work within an organization and then we go to the politics, where I also try to do something, we realize how small these differences are. However, from the feedback we get, we know that for individuals, for companies, for organizations, there are differences, and they go, you know, and make their steps. So it's like balancing, isn't it? Like nature. So there are days, and I'm also like skeptical and thinking, how we will get the curve. But then I see how people after a session or after, you know, some days of a common process, how they change their approach and really can do much more than I can. Yeah.
So perhaps in this field, in this evolving field, climate coaching, what does a regular coach or a supervisor or a mentor need to know about climate coaching in order to support this initiative?
Yes. Yeah. So I would differentiate maybe between knowledge and skill. And the knowledge would be, you know, and we have a lot of information, which is not knowledge yet. I need to digest information to become knowledgeable. So I would probably go for Climate Coaching Alliance for the global statement on climate change from the professional coaching psychologist and supervision, and just realize what's there. What are the ethical standards and how much human beings are influencing the planetary change and how much the planetary change has an impact on our mental health, our workplaces, So it's like a chain, right? And there are beautiful books about that. I try to write about the last part. And so this will be the information. For myself, if I went this way, I would probably check what relationship do I have with the planet? What kind of relationship would I like to have? And what does it mean to my client? Right? So kind of self-reflection. I think we need self-awareness, so we cannot, you know, pray without going by ourselves for this knowledge and information. So reflect on how am I doing, maybe in correlation with our values. So for me, integrity is quite important. So I wouldn't probably go for topics which are not familiar to me with me, right? Explaining others how to deal with something. I would also invite these colleagues who are interested in to go for Climate Coaching Alliance, and we have them in every single language. So it's not just English. We also established Polish one, we have German one in every country on most. And just explore. Last but not least, what I hear often is the idea of how we deal with the guilt. And this is something, again, what you heard today, the attitude of judging. So how can I, if I would feel guilty, how can I work with that? What to do with that? Yeah. Yes. Something what you would think it could be interesting to explore as a coach in this field.
So from my background, I come from a small village, and my father was a farmer. Mm-hmm. So we are in close contact with the soil, and this is something that comforts me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, I'm now in Stuttgart, and Stuttgart is a completely different environment. And therefore, to find those spaces where you can feel the relationship,
to or
with the planet.
Yeah.
And not only thinking about or reflecting, just feeling. And therefore, I started to hike again, because by hiking you have the experienced slowness of, you're not in a hurry, you just walk in your own pace in an environment that has pieces of nature, trees, animals, small animals, bigger animals, and to just see how you are just one part in a complete universe there.
Yes, yes.
And not only to, and you, I liked the idea not only to find the knowledge, to have spaces in which you realize what is it, your connection. And perhaps this might be more explored as well.
And this is a place, because I usually, I'm very much with you. And you know, I spend a lot of time in the forest. And my poor clients, they also do, because, you know, sitting in the office and having another session also in the office, it's not working so well. So all clients I have in the region of Karlsruhe, even from Heidelberg or other cities, they just come here and we go to the forest. And I will share a short story with you in a second. But what I observe, or where I'm wondering a little bit, is some of our clients, and I assume only, it's just a hypothesis, also coaches, are so disconnected that they don't feel comfort or any positive impact in the forest just at the beginning. So it needs a kind of training to realize what's happening there. So I would like just to mention it to, you know, not make this expectation huge, because I realize that for some, they are so much like functioning that it needs time to realize, oh, wow, I really see a difference in my, at the body level. And this is again what science says to us, right? The embodiment field and how all of that interacts. And the short story is, I was with my daughter in Karlsruhe in a botanic garden, and she said, she's 15, Mom, take a look. Isn't it a beautiful place for your climate coaching? So many plants and beautiful flowers. And I thought, it's amazing, because if it's rain or it's really cold, I can go there and we have this diversity of really beautiful plants. And just using them, even as our intervention and being in this space, really makes a difference. So this kind of training at home is already successful. They know to do so. So I will probably summarize this question with, let's take our time. No, I know we don't have so much time for the crisis as such, but give us time to learn about that, because for many it's a kind of disconnection there. Yeah.
So if I may come to a conclusion, so you mentioned very often this disconnection, and perhaps not with a judgment, but with a, I think, full-hearted recommendation. What do you recommend our listeners that are interested in climate coaching or in renewing their relationship with nature or the planet? What do you like to recommend?
I'm framed by the German language and recommendation as that. I would probably, the first which pops up when I hear you is, just love yourself, just take yourself as a part of this planet, and you don't want to be bad. People cannot see you know, the underlined word with it, our kids or our coaches, clients. So let's accept what's there, and instead of punishing ourselves, take a look, what can I do differently today, and where can I, because very often we hear we need to do differently this, and I'm looking for more recognition of what's already there, what is already what you're doing fine, where you could, you know, be grateful for yourself for acting this way, instead of, like, we still, it's our German way, isn't it, Anne? Look for something what needs to be better.
Yes, of
so,
course.
So I will probably, thank you so much for the question. I didn't think about that. I will pause and say, okay, I'm happy for being this and this and this way already. And where I see some potential to move forward would be maybe this and this. And then I would invite people to come to Climate Coaching Alliance, to contact us, you know, have a conversation about, with others. How those topics make you feel, right? Just become more aware without judgment about ourselves first, and the rest will come. I'm trustful here.
Yeah.
Does it answer your question?
A little bit, and I think there are lots of ideas in it, how to approach this topic, which is not a topic because it's part of our being.
If I may, last sentence to that, I would avoid to discuss, and to, in the sense of what I often hear is, okay, Katarzyna, when I do climate communication workshop, so how can I convince others to stop wanting to do so? So I think it's the first one. It's not about convincing anyone to anything. It's my last recommendation.
So it's, and concluding from there, it's more an invitation to experience. Yeah.
With openness, which we as coaches always have to bring into the space, right?
Yeah. And just the invitation, okay, perhaps there's some change. If not,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. May I ask you something?
Of course.
So what has emerged for you from our conversation, if anything?
It came to my mind that probably I like to stay in Stuttgart for a little while, but not too long, because I realized how soothing it is to have more green around. And I'm looking forward to this moment. And in the meanwhile, I go to the park, or I go to Wilhelma, with the botanical garden as well. So, but I realized that it might be very very supporting for me to be in a different environment within the next 5 or 10 years.
Beautiful. And then you become already a kind of climate coach, being a model of self-care on this planet, right?
Probably, but I'm not here to be a model. I'm just me.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for the inspiration, and probably our listeners might have more inspiration, and I think they might contact you, they might contact Climate Coaching Alliance and other, and we are recommending the books that you send over. So please stay tuned, and for a better world and a better planet.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.